There was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls the string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night folds in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride. They claim to seek a new world order, nations without borders, but don't believe the lie. Even in this wealthy nation, it could come down to starvation in the twinkling of an eye. They tell us there will soon be peace, our lives will be an endless feast, but they lead us toward the dark. In the distance, sabers rattle, and the armies train for battle as the beast prepares his mark. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string and makes his little puppets dance to any song he sings. As the night rolls in on the rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold the pale horse ride. It's time for every righteous man to step up tall, take a stand. There is so little time. For if we fail and hesitate.
Welcome to Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio broadcast on RBN.
We're the last hope of mankind.
Today, an exclusive interview with Ammon Bundy.
Check this out.
I got it.
Y'all, check this out. This is Ammon Bundy's,
It's the
Fed defense cowboy hat. That doesn't.
This
get,
is us at the Bundy Ranch.
Better than that.
My brother, little brother, actually has one when we rope on the range. It's sweet. You get to watch him throw the rope, catch the calf. It's pretty sweet. It's
yes,
good.
Sir.
It is good. Who's ever thought you'd be doing that against the BLM?
Hey, you want to say hi to Resurrect the Republic listeners?
How you doing, guys?
We're burning out. We need some help. Need some help out here.
And now an interview from today.
This is Tom Lacavera Stewart, Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Media, Reloaded. On the line with Ammon Bundy. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Oh, well, you know, another day in the life.
We just take it one by one. It's just the only way to do it, I guess.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, we talked a little bit yesterday, and you know, I wanted to... I have told my listeners that time and time again how proud we all are of you, your dad, of your family. Brian's presentation in the court, for lack of a better way of saying it, I enjoyed the time that we spent in Pahrump, if you can enjoy being in federal prison. But
well, at least we were together, right?
Yes, sir. We were together and we prayed and we well, it was just I was blessed to have been there and see your dad and you guys, and just this result of the trial is amazing. This shows what people can do when they stand, like they say, hashtag it matters how you stand, huh?
Yeah, you know, and the confidence that the Lord can give you through a process like this gives you the strength to stand and to know how to stand, because, you know, none of us would be able to stand and continue to stand and have the strength because of what was upon us. None of us could have done that, or no one can do that without knowing that there's a greater power, that there's a greater being that's in power here, and that is God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and that is what kept us going, knowing those things, and knowing that He was in charge and that He wasn't going to leave us in there.
That's what kept me going all this time. It's been a trip, but it's been one that I made the best of, and I don't regret at all. You know, we saw what happened at the Bundy Ranch. We got the word out and tried telling people how militarized the operation was there. And it's again, one of the reasons why I came to Oregon, too, because I knew that the law became unlawful. And when that happens, we have a right and a duty to stand in the spirit of resistance and give redress for grievances in a way that 'll be heard. So you want to talk a little bit about some of the discovery and what was learned in the trial by many, but that we already knew?
Yeah, so specifically talking about the Bundy Ranch, you know, what happened in 2014, the prosecutors, you know, they took and threw us in prison there and wouldn't let us get out. One of the things that was interesting that a judge, he was one of the retired judges, so he's kind of on, you know, merit status or whatever, and he was handling our release up in Oregon. His name was Judge Jones. And Ryan and I were down at literally one of the bottom floors in the federal building, down in the cells, and it's just a, you know, you've been down in there several times, Tom.
Yeah.
It's a cold, you know, concrete, metal bars, and you know it's a lot like a dungeon down there. Everything's
yeah, sure
metal
is.
And concrete and you know, bars and locks and security cameras and all that. And then here comes this federal judge, and he wants to talk to Ryan and I. And it was very interesting. So we begin to talk a little bit. He even pulls a chair. He has the marshals bring a chair in so he can sit on a chair, and we're sitting on the metal benches.
Oh, how privileged of him.
Yeah, well, it was just so interesting that he would come down there, and two, he would talk to us, and we were trying to kind of figure out what's going on. And he pulls out this list, and it's actually a colored list. Like, meaning what I mean by that is that there was a whole bunch of names on it. And I got a little glimpse of it, actually, and it was the names of all the defendants, both in Oregon and in Nevada, all the people that were arrested. And some of them had one colors on them. The other had other colors, like red and yellow and blue. And
interesting.
Green also. And he literally went down that list, and he says, "Now, which one are you?" And I said, "I'm Ammon," you know. And he said, "Which one are you?" And I said, "Ryan, I'm," you know, he knew we were Ryan and Ammon, but he didn't know for sure which one was which. So anyway, and he says, "Oh," you know, goes down there, literally takes his finger down the list. He goes, "You know, I can't let you guys go. No, it says here, I can't let you go." This was weeks before our release here. And you know, then I could just see he's going down through these, you know, names and these colors and so forth, and somehow he was told by somebody who he could release and who he couldn't.
Well, that's really interesting.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? You know, here he is, the judge. He's supposed to have the authority to determine the facts and you know, and the law, and decide whether we can be, you know, free to go home and fight this at home. But he was told by somebody, and there should be nobody whatsoever telling a judge whether he can release or not release, or whether, you know, I mean, that's the purpose of a judge. And there shouldn't be anybody above or beside or anything else that's telling him what and what he cannot do. That is actually the true definition of prejudice.
It sure is.
Which is prejudice, prejudice. And so, anyway, that's interesting. That might get people thinking and wondering what in the world, you know. So then we end up fighting. We end up getting acquitted up in Oregon on all the charges.
Praise God on that.
Yep. And then they send us down to Nevada. And the one thing up in Oregon, as you know, there was no ability to even look up and practically prepare your defense. They give you no law library, you don't have access to the discovery, nothing. And it's literally such an injustice.
Yeah, that happened to me too. That happened. I was only given access for 2 hours out of 7 months, and I was given 3 sheets of paper and a pencil because they didn't even have a printer here at Lane County to prepare my case or be forced to accept a court-appointed attorney. It was crazy.
Yeah, so they, in Multnomah County, it's very similar. They have like these kiosks where you can look up some of the cases and some of the law, but you can't print anything off. And
yep.
I mean, you don't have any Word documents or anything to prepare motions or anything with. You literally, and I mean, you know, it's just impractical to think that somehow that is allowing people to defend and to participate in their own defense. And it's just such an injustice. Anyway, so we basically, for 10 months, even fighting our case up there, we weren't able to look at the discovery unless we were with our attorneys, which that was difficult too, because getting in and out with them and all of that. And then we weren't able to do any preparations ourselves. It was very difficult. So then we go down to Nevada and TCA down there. Now they have a better, much, much better law library. There's like normal computers. You have to pay them about 10 cents a sheet to get printing, but at least you get to do that, and you can look up cases and write motions and so forth. So that was much better, and you could get the discovery. Well, and the prosecutors made a mistake because by keeping us in there, we went through every bit of the discovery, every file, every document. And before we'd move on to the next, we'd understand what that document file was and all of that. And so we began to see very clearly that the federal agencies, primarily the Bureau of Land Management, 20-plus years ago set this plan to provoke my father and support, you know, anybody that was supporting him, to provoke him into acting in violence so they could use force upon him and remove him from the land and the public eye. And
it's just disgusting.
Yeah, it's very clear, but it's interesting because in their frustration, they began to show in their documents and so forth that my father would not be provoked to act in violence. And in fact, one of the agents in one of the reports says that Carvin Bundy is too savvy to allow himself to be provoked. That's what he says. He used the word savvy.
Wow, and so that shows deliberate intent to exacerbate the situation into a violent confrontation.
Yeah, and what was my dad doing? My dad was calling on the governor of Nevada and the Clark County Sheriff to protect him. Whenever there was an incident where they would come out and try to, you know, do something to him and provoke him, my dad would pretty much just ignore them and call the sheriff. And the sheriff, and, you know, he would write constructive notices. And he was concerned, though, you know, about what was happening. He could see what was happening. In fact, if you will, let me read a few things from one of his notices that he wrote to the sheriff.
Sure.
And this was clear back in November 27th, 1998. So imagine that. This is 20 years ago. And this is what my father says. I'll read you a little bit if you'd be patient. The above Nevada officials are hereby given constructive notice that an unconstitutional jurisdiction without limitation is being imposed upon me and my family's life, liberty, and property. Because a court has ordered this upon me, I fear for the well-being and safety of me and my family because of what agents did at Ruby Ridge in Waco. And further on, he says this, the United States and its agents have obtained a ruling from a federal district court judge here in Las Vegas that states I have no constitutional rights, and they can operate against my life, liberty, and property without limitation. And then further down, he continues, he says, I have been a rancher and a steward of this range in this area many more years than there has been a BLM. If I were so dangerous and destructive for the range, how have I been able to continue in the ranching business producing livestock for all these years as my heirs before me? And then continuing on, he states this. He says, I fear that my stand is an endangerment to my life and the lives of my family members and will cause the destruction of my property rights by illegal acts of agents of the United States. They have attempted me to paint me as a violent person when all I have done is stand for my property rights. This fight today is no different than the civil rights days when Rosa Parks defied illegal local law and took her rightful seat in the front of the bus. I have to take that same front seat and stand for my rights here today. I have always conducted myself in a professional manner during this battle with words on paper. I take issue with anyone who has tried to paint me as some wacko extremist. I do not advocate violence and only want a legal and peaceful conclusion to the issues and my rights protected. Anyway, then, you know, he ends up calling upon the Nevada officials to protect it. And he kind of ends, he says, I hereby demand that the above officials intervene and secure my 14th Amendment rights guaranteed in the Constitution and prevent an emergency which has the potential of causing the loss of me and my family's life, liberty, and property. The First Amendment guarantees me the right to redress my government. That is what I'm doing. Respectfully submitted, Clive and D. Bundy. So that's what he kept doing, because he could see this attempt to provoke him, and he could see how it was going to basically put him and his family, you know, all of us, into a great danger of where they would literally use it as an excuse to take away our lives. And our, you know, or our liberties and our property. And so,
yeah, we,
you know, that was in 1998, Tom.
Yeah, and I'm amazed that it went on so long, the pattern of abuse went on so long, and the pressure went on so long. And, you know, we all came out there after we knew there were people that were very reputable that I had spoken to while I was even on my way there that said that this was a military style operation, and you know, none of us, I mean, one of the biggest things that we all said was no more Wacos. This is not going to happen. So praise God that everybody came running from all over the country. And the reason for this, and a lot of people still in the media are saying, you know, the violent extremists. Well, there's a pattern from the 80s of pressure and intimidation and what I call economic terrorism.
Absolutely. Judicial terrorism, economic terrorism, and, you know, provocations. Let me read you this, actually. I'm going to read you some of the actual discovery.
Okay.
And what this is when I say quote unquote, it's actually out of the BLM official planning document.
All right, everybody. We'll be right back after a couple of words from our sponsors.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Resurrect the Republic, RTR, Truth Media Reloaded. And we will get right back to the interview between Thomas Lacovere Stewart and Ammon Bundy.
The BLM official planning document for the roundup for the impound on my father's cattle. This is the operational plan. And you tell me what you think, and your listeners can draw conclusions of what they think. Because it's going to confirm, I think, exactly what you said, that there's a deliberate plan to, and certainly in this case, to provoke and to incite violence. And you guys can draw your own conclusions. Anyway, so obviously we see this 20-year plan to provoke my father into violence, and then we see their plan in this operation to get my father and supporters and so forth to act in violence. And So we get into this. Let's see. So let me. So in the official BLM and FBI and U.S. Attorney documents, especially in the sensitive government documents, officials admit that up to that point, quote, Bundy himself is less prone to initiate or support violence, unquote. They further admit that they did not know, quote, Bundy's threshold, unquote, or, quote, precise trigger that would elicit a violent response, unquote. Quote, nor are we able to detect what his actions would be to a direct threat, unquote. However, quote, if pressed into a corner and faced with having to defend his property, family, or person, his actions may be hard to forecast, unquote. In the official plans, in the official planning documents of this imminent action against the Bundy family, a plan was laid out to Vice will use excessive federal force to push Bundy, quote, beyond his threshold, unquote, and either summon enough fear in Bundy to lose all, quote, semblance of hope, unquote, and give up his claim on the land or leave him with no choice but to defend his family and property. The official plan states that, quote, it is important that Bundy realize that impound operations are imminent so he can develop a plan B, unquote. Further, it says that this will give, quote, Bundy time to really weigh his options, identify and organize key players, and decide how he wants to handle the possibility of violence, unquote. Further officials reveal in this plan that, quote, while this planning time presents a double-edged sword for our LOE operation, it is in our best interest to face off against a more stable and measured Bundy contingent, Vice a caged and a reactive one, unquote.
Good Lord.
I believe it's evident that the official plan was to exhibit such a show of force upon my father and family and the local community that it would either put them in a state of terror, causing them to lose hope, or to react in opposition, and this would give federal agents justification to arrest or dispose of anybody who opposed them. And, I mean, those are quotes right out of the official planning.
They said it was only
a caged and a reactive one, unquote. That they were going to push Bundy beyond his threshold. And that, I mean, it's just amazing. And they even said that this plan presents a double-edged sword for LOE operations. Well, you know, what does that mean? Basically, they're going to put their officers in danger in order to fulfill this plan. But they said they believed that it was in our best interest to do this.
You know, in my opinion, that meets all of the requirements for a RICO case against these agencies. I mean, this is talk about a corrupt organization. Wow.
Well, let me give you an example how they were doing this. Okay, so on March 28th, let's see. Let me get here because I want to be accurate. So on March 28th, let me get back here. So knowing, first of all, let me give you a little background. Knowing of the distaste that the ranching community has towards contract cowboys, and so your listeners know, the contract cowboys are those that are hired by the BLM to go in and literally destroy other cowboys' ranch and livelihood. And so knowing of this distaste for contract cowboys, on March 28th, the BLM agents, and it appears in the discovery that it was unknown to the contract cowboys.
We'll be back after a few words from our sponsors, Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, RTR Truth Media Reloaded.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Mm-hmm. Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it. At AROutfitting.com.
Mother of the moon, which filled my sails, crossed the sea of tears. With no provisions, there's not enough places. Oh, the straits of fear. Oh,
Republic Truth Radio broadcasts on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Tom Lacovara Stewart, and Lori Anderson is here as well. This is an interview with Ammon Bundy today.
Knowing, first of all, let me give you a little background. Knowing of the distaste that the ranching community has towards contract cowboys, and so your listeners know, the contract cowboys are those that are hired by the BLM
to go in and literally destroy other cowboys' ranch and livelihood. And so knowing of this distaste for contract cowboys, on March 28th, the BLM agents, and it appears in the discovery that it was unknown to the contract cowboys, and it was certainly unknown to my father, but the BLM agents arranged for the two of them to come together, meaning the contract cowboys and my father to come together, and then covertly filmed the incident from the desert. So,
entrapment.
Yeah, so let me give you how this all happened. Channel 8 News out of Las Vegas, Nevada, called my father and requested an interview. And the Channel 8 News crew wanted to interview my father near the BLM military-type compound, and that was up in the Tokwap Wash area. And my father, he agreed to it and met them at the gate on the morning of the 28th. And it was my father and three of my brothers, and they arrived in horses, you know, just as they agreed with Channel 8 News, and they proceeded to perform the photo op and the interview. However, mysteriously, here come the contract cowboys. They showed up with all their men and their gear and their equipment at the same time, and it creating a potential flashpoint between these contract cowboys and my father and brothers. And so it makes me wonder, is this what the federal agents meant when they wrote an official plan that, quote, it is in our best interest to face off against Bundy, vice a caged and a reactive one? Okay? So let me go on to lay, I want people to know that this wasn't just something that might have happened. I want to give you the proof. I don't want you to just take it from me, just because maybe this was just happenstance. Maybe it just happened, right? But in fact, for the last 2 years, we thought this, you know, coming together of the contract cowboys and the Bundy men, we thought it was just, you know, an amazing coincidence, you know, something that neither the BLM agents, the Bundy family, or the contract cowboys could have ever foreseen happening. After all, what would be the chances of, you know, my dad being at the front gate of the BLM compound when the contract cowboys arrived for the first time? And surely my dad wouldn't know when the contract cowboys were due to arrive, and surely the contract cowboys wouldn't know that Channel 8 News was going to do an interview with my dad.
Sure.
And then surely, you know, the BLM would not or could not arrange the two to be at the same time and the same place. And however, again, sifting through hundreds of hours of radio traffic between BLM agents, almost by chance, something different was discovered. And what we were doing is, you know, going through all the radio traffic and digging through it all and listening to, and most of it was dead air. And I'm talking about hundreds and hundreds of hours of just static air. And then every once in a while there would be a little, you know, few minutes of radio traffic communication. And we found this in some of the certified BLM radio traffic recordings. And they reveal that, in fact, the contract cowboys were staged by the BLM agents at an off-site location. The BLM agents knew the Bundy men were at the gate performing a photo op. The BLM agents directed the contract cowboys to proceed to the gate, knowing Cliven and his sons were there, and that the BLM agent in camouflage clothing was filming the incident at a distance. And so let me give you the actual transaction in the radio. So at 7:11 on the morning of the 28th, the radio traffic from BLM agent 174 to agent 351 says, am I reading this right? Photo op? Agent 351 replies, no words. He didn't want him talking over the radio. He didn't want him talking over the radio. 174, yeah, so he's obviously reading something. I don't know what that was. We don't have it. But 174 then says, is that the patriarch? And he's speaking of my father, right? And 354 replies, that's the man himself. And then 174 confirms that 351 says has a video camera. And then a few minutes later, 174 says to the BLM control center, quote, if you can log that we have Clive and Bundy and some others at the front gate performing a photo op at our gate. So obviously what's going on here is 351 is the one that knows what's going on. 174 is just trying to catch up, right? Then later on, 351 says, FYI, we want to keep our undercover vehicles out of the photos also. 174 then says to 351, I know that you are, but you are getting photographs and videos of all of this, correct? 351 replies 10-4. 351 says, that's why they are going to proceed down the fence so they can get shots of the ICP. So you may want to move the undercover vehicles to the back side of the campers over there. So they're trying to hide their M-ramps and all of that, right?
Yeah.
So they're not in the photo. That's what's happening. And then it goes on a few minutes later, the BLM control personnel says, can you let us know when the gate is clear so we can advise the contractors? 351 says, the gate is clear. At this point, Cliven and my dad and my brothers are still at the gate. And then the control personnel says, be advised, they're going to have the contractors come back this way. They are currently staged, but they are going to be en route to you shortly. 351 says, 10-4. And then 174, he says 174 just got off of the phone with them.
Good God.
Yeah. So, you know, after, again, 20 years of the same taxi, it is easy to conclude that BLM agents created this violent situation to provoke my father, a volatile situation. It wasn't violent. It was a volatile situation to provoke my father into violence. And then they wanted to film it so that they could, again, justify the forceful actions that they were about ready to impose on him anyway. And the interesting thing is my father, once again, proved to them that he was not a violent man. You know, knowing that what these contractors were about to do to him and his ranch and to his cattle and to his heritage, all my father did was calmly walk around their vehicles, take pictures of them with a little flip phone, and then he never said a word to them. And my brothers rode around with their horses, taking pictures of their vehicles and equipment. And one brother said, "You should be ashamed of yourself." And that's all that was said to them. So, anyway, however,
good God, man, I tell you, if you get a chance when we're finished. Take some, if you feel comfortable with it, take some photographs of this stuff, and I'm going to be making a video presentation of this, and I'll throw them in there if you want.
Yeah, the actual documents and stuff, is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, if you can just take a couple snapshots, and I'll lace them in.
Yeah, and again, this is just one out of many, many incidents that they created, you know, to try to provoke. And, you know, this incident just shows us, you know, that they were intentionally doing it. And no matter what you say, you know, no matter what, you know, you might have some questions, you know, I know we have some questions, like, for example, did Channel 8 News contact BLM and inform them about the interview beforehand? Or, like, what other types of communication were going on between the BLM agents during this event? Because we know that someone was reading something. What were they reading? Also, where the video that was taken by the BLM agents in the desert, it was confirmed that they were video recording. Well, that was never in the discovery. So that's exculpatory evidence that they never revealed to us. And then also, you know, so there's several things, you know, that was the U.S. attorneys, again, trying to cover up this meeting, but no matter what, the questions remain unanswered. It is an indisputable fact that the BLM agents knew my father and brothers were at the gate and brought in the contract cowboys at the same time while they covertly filmed it, filmed the event. And those three things are as follows.
It's amazing to me that they can get away with, you know, we see this happening actually all over the country, and you know, praise the Lord that this was brought to light here, but these are
These are criminal acts. Brady violations and willful withholding of evidence, exculpatory evidence. You know, this is a deliberate pattern to subvert justice. And, you know, there's people that I was in prison with that went to prison for the BLM charging them taking a few rocks out of a desert to use in landscaping, and they're doing prison time without a previous record. And these people willfully subvert and there has to be accountability this time.
Well, the thing that people have to understand, and I think you do, Tom, but is that this is what government does when they're not held within their limits. And so, you know, it's not that, well, we need the BLM to start, you know, governing themselves appropriately. No, the BLM shouldn't be here at all. And so,
this
is always what will happen when a government entity is allowed to, you know, act beyond the authority that the people have given them. They will always abuse it. It'll always become a problem. And the issue is not correcting the BLM. The issue is putting that the BLM and the federal government back in their box. They shouldn't be here managing these lands.
No, they shouldn't.
And because they are, and the way it's being done on a federal level, 3,000 miles away in Washington, D.C., there is no way to hold them accountable. You can't vote them out. You can't indict them. You know, you can't do anything with them. They literally roam around these lands like they're a king or they're working for the king. And anybody who uses anything that they claim is punished. You know, it reminds me of, do you remember that movie, I think it's called Prince of Thieves, you know, the Robin Hood movie of Kevin Costner's in it?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, remember he escapes, you know, from the wars, and he comes back to his land, and he's got a Muslim man who is, he's famous. I can't remember his name. It's too bad. I really like him. He's a great actor.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
And they climb up on the hill, and the Muslim man starts to pray, right? And he sees this kid running, and he's running away from these dogs and these soldiers, and he climbs a tree, and these soldiers see him in a tree, and they're trying to kill him, right? And Robin Hood goes down there, and he fights them, ends up killing them all except one, and one runs away, and they're the king's men, right? And do you remember why they were chasing this kid up into a tree, and they were going to kill him?
No, it's been a while.
Because he killed the king's deer to feed his family.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And we love those movies, and we think they're so great, and Robin Hood, and, you know, the injustice of them trying to kill this, you know, the kid killing, I mean, how dare the king claim that the deer is his, and, you know, and then when you think of that, then those very same people will say, well, no, you know, we don't have a right to the land and the resources, that's the king's. I mean, it's insanity when you really think about it, because the very same thing is happening right here in front of us. We are being told what we can use, what we can't use, by literally a kingdom that's 3,000 miles away, and their soldiers and so forth are actually killing people.
It reminds me of the whole cause for the Declaration of Independence.
Well, that's what it was there for. Those same things were happening back then. But this has happened over and over again. But let's not forget the reality of what's really going on here. These people act like they are kings of the land. They have literally created a small kingdom. Like, for example, you know, the Malheur Wildlife Refuge, you know, they have a king. He's the director. He has his people. He controls the land. He makes money on the land. He pays tribute to his, you know, there is literally a hierarchy. And you ask those people, when you really think about it, everything from that county pretty much comes from that person, Chad Cargis. And he literally walks around that place as like a king, because he controls whether any contract comes from, you know, the people. You know, he controls the full economy of that land, of that area, because he controls the land and resources. And, I mean, we need to wake up with what's happening.
And no more moo in 92, a cattle free in 93 said a lot to me.
Well, that's the goal, but, you know, to remove the ranchers. And really what they're planning on doing is removing anybody who had claim to the land and the resources, so therefore they can claim it without, without, you know, interruption. They can have full claim on it. And it is modern-day conquering.
It's mind-blowing. It's really mind-blowing how they've gotten this far. But, you know, American people need to really learn a lesson here. Well, we keep saying this, they need to hold their, especially their local officials, I think are most, I keep using that term, I have to stop myself, officials, their local representatives that they've elected into positions of protection, such as the sheriff and, you know, the governor. The whole functionality of the check and balances in government seems to be completely undermined.
Yeah, those checks and balances were supposed to be, you know, the states.
Yeah, I mean, our founders knew that this could or would happen. I mean, I don't think anything illustrates it better than Marbury v. Madison. You know, any law that is repugnant to the Constitution is null and void. They knew that laws would be passed that would be repugnant to the Constitution. And, you know, so you talk to some of these authoritarian-minded people, and, you know, for lack of a better term, that think that being law-abiding is to listen to every dictate and whim that's passed, you know, such as the mindset of, you know, we have to pass it to see what's in it type of mentality, and we have to go along with that. It's just it's really a shame to see, but, you know, there has been an awakening. This case has been, it's been like a brush fire that's woken so many people up. God bless you and your family and your father. And you've been such a resource to the nation of information.
Well, the Lord has, I'm convinced, and I can never be convinced otherwise, that the Lord hasn't created this and set this up to give the people a choice. And it's been difficult, you know, my family at times, but we have been supported by the Lord, given strength. But I believe, literally, that this is an opportunity for people to see the contrast between right and wrong, between freedom and oppression, between the people's, you know, governing themselves, or a small group of people governing and using force upon the people. And we have a choice here. And just as it always is, God does not force man to act and believe in something. They have a choice. He's given us a choice. The scenario shows us the contrast, and so we have to decide which way we're going to go from here. And with that being said, I do need to get going, Tom. It's been my pleasure, though.
Oh, no. Thank you very much, Adam, for your time. And, you know, I'd like to hashtag out victory over oppression. God bless you. Thank you for joining us, and all of my listeners at Resurrect the Republic on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We were live with Ammon Bundy. Thanks, Ammon.
Thank you, Tom. Let's do it again.
All right.
I want all of them to know. I want my children to know. I want my friends and family, everybody to know that I know that it was the Lord who gave us the advantage. He always gives us the advantage if we stay true to Him and we believe in Him and we are obedient to Him. He gives us the advantage so that we can be free. And that's what will keep us free as this country, and that's what we must rely upon. We must not be afraid to act when we're told to act by the Lord. We must act and not be afraid.
Well, there you have it.
There you have it, folks. That was recorded today. We're, you know, it just never ceases to amaze me. As many times as I've talked to him, and I always learn something more about what has been done. Mm-hmm. Mind blowing. Anyway, folks, listeners out there, you know that this broadcast, you know where I am if you've listened to this show for any length of time. We've been a year down, and we could use your assistance. You know, I don't really try and push for donations, but I would appreciate it if you went to paypal.me/RTR Truth Media. Make a little donation. I know that it's rough, but it is my birthday today, so you could send me a birthday donation. That would be very nice.
Happy birthday, Tom.
Why, thank you. And of all times to have, I kind of wanted to give Ammon some space because Lord knows he's got media all over him. And of all days, he called me on my birthday. That was nice. That was nice to do that on a day like that. I was kind of feeling a little bummed out. So, yeah, I can't wait to get out of here and get back into a studio and be with you guys regularly and deliver you a less noisy broadcast. So support the effort. Also, you can go to Pruitt's Tree Resin, a wonderful product that I'm using now, miraclesalve.com. They have been very supportive through all of this. And, I have so many people to thank that, you know, I could sit here for a long time. Two of my friends out there tonight, especially, that I've spoken to within the past day or so is Sal, just one of the best friends I've ever had, and Ray from New Jersey. Thank you, Ray, for everything. And, two very good friends. All of you out there, thank you for sticking by us through these times and getting the word out and spreading the information. It's been critical to what we do. Lori has some things planned for you. I'm not going to probably be able to stay on for the second hour tonight, but Lori Anderson is with you tonight. She has all kinds of interesting things that she wants to tie into this situation that that Ammon was alluding to as well. So I'm going to turn things connecting those dots. So we're only have a couple minutes at the top of the hour here. Oh, there we go. Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Your host Tom Lacovara Stewart, joined by Lori Anderson. You have a great night. And Lori, what do you always say?
As always, everyone, hang with us, and we'll be right back.
Oh, what about checking the facts?
That's at the end. But yes, right, watch your backs, check your facts.
That's Semper Fidelis. Dallas.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.